we turn to the 23rd chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deed. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I want you to see, here is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. He had already been taken to the Sanhedrin. He had already faced Pilate. He had already been condemned. Pilate had said to the Jews as they were gathered together, Who shall I release to you on this feast day? Barabbas, who is a known criminal, or Jesus, which is called the Christ? They had said, Release unto us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. And so Jesus Christ, the one who had come and taught a revolutionary system of ethics, this Christ that had taught as one having authority, this Jesus, this Son of Man and this Son of God in one person, who had made the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak and the lame to walk and the dead to rise. This Christ, whom the apostles said went about doing good, this Christ was taken outside the walls of Jerusalem and he was crucified between two thieves, two murderers, two criminals. The cross was a place of the execution of the vilest criminal. They had stripped Christ of his clothes. They had taken long leather thongs with steel pellets on the end and cut him to the bone. They'd pulled his beard till his face bled. They'd put a crown of thorns on his brow. And now they nail him to a cross, and he's between two thieves. And the reason he was crucified between two thieves was that the scriptures might be fulfilled, because Isaiah 53:12 says, He was numbered with the transgressors. And every detail of Old Testament scripture concerning the Christ was fulfilled in him. Nothing was left out. And here we find the fulfillment of the scripture that he was numbered with the transgressors, written 800 years before by Isaiah the prophet as he looked down through the corridors of time through the eyes of prophetic word that he received by inspiration. And Jesus is being crucified between these two thieves. And on the one side is a thief who is guilty of every sin. On the other side was another thief, his friend, presumably, who was also guilty, his partner in crime. They both deserve to die. They both deserve to be executed. They've broken the law. And one of them, in fact, both of them in the beginning, railed on Christ. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They sneered at him. They heaped insults on him. So you're the Christ. Ha ha. All right, if you are, why don't you save us and save yourselves? But as the afternoon wore on, one of those criminals began to rebuke the other criminal. And he said, we deserve what we're getting. But this man has done nothing amiss. This Jesus Christ has done nothing wrong. He doesn't deserve to die. And in that dying hour, he turned with eyes of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today, right now, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. One of those criminals died in sin. He died a condemned man physically and spiritually. Tonight, that man is lost. Tonight, that man is facing the judgment of God and hell to come. But the other man said, Lord, remember me. First of all, he had repented of his sins because he acknowledged that he was a sinner. He said, we deserve what we're getting. We've done everything in the books. We are sinners. And the first step to paradise, the first step to the kingdom of God is to recognize that you're a sinner. That's not easy. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Everyone here tonight is guilty. You're not a thief. You're not a murderer. But you've come short of God's moral requirements. You're lacking in righteousness, and God requires righteousness if you're to enter heaven. And you don't have any of your own. You can't work. You can't buy any. You're without righteousness. You must have a righteousness that comes from another. You're a sinner. You may be identified with some church in some nominal degree, but that doesn't mean that you've been born of God. That doesn't mean that you have the righteousness that God requires. And many of you are here tonight spiritually dead. You don't have any desire to read the Bible. You have no hunger after God. You have no desire to spend time in prayer. You don't enjoy going to church. You just go to church because it's a duty. It's the thing to do. Or because your parents used to go. There's no real joy in Christian experience. There's no life in your soul. There's no glow on your face. There's no spring in your step. There's no thrill in your soul about Christ. There's a deadness and a lifelessness. We are sinners. We are cut off from God. We are dead men. Dead in trespasses and in sins. This man was a sinner, but he confessed his sin. And it's very difficult to get people that have had a little bit of religion to confess that they're wrong, that they're sinners. It's very easy to get a drunkard. It's very easy to get the worst of men to say, yes, I'm a sinner. But it's not easy to get respectable people to say they're sinners. And yet God requires that you admit that you've sinned and that you confess it and acknowledge it before you can enter heaven. That's the first step toward the kingdom of heaven, and that's what this man did. But more than that, he acknowledged that Christ was Lord. Lord, remember me. That word Lord used there is my very own Lord. At that moment, by faith, he received Christ as his Savior and his Lord. And he had a belief in life after death. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. At that moment on that cross, that man that had lived a life of wickedness and sin was converted to Jesus Christ that quick. And there's some people that tell me that a person cannot have his life changed right here in a meeting that quick. I tell you, it happens as quick as a flash. A man may be changed and forgiven of God if he's willing to repent of his sins. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I want to think about that little word, remember. The scripture says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. The thought of forgetfulness on the part of God is a little bit jarring. We're not accustomed to associate forgetfulness with God. And to speak of God forgetting seems to be almost irreverent. He never forgets his universe. He has a million solar systems to look after, and his stars are as numberless as the sands of the sea, but he never forgets one of them. And the Bible teaches that God remembers us. He knows all your problems. He knows your difficulties. He knows your burdens. He loves you and he's interested in you. He doesn't forget you. You say you mean God's interested in the burden I'm carrying right now in my heart. He's very interested. He remembers. He loves. He's longing for you to turn to him so that you can lay your burden over on him, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. He loves you. He wants to help you, but you won't let him. You insist on going around carrying the heavy burdens of life all by yourself, stumbling under them, when God wants you to lay them on him. Let him carry them for you. He doesn't want to take anything away from you. God's not an angry person who goes around with a big stick and you do something wrong and he cracks you over the head. He loves you. And everything he does is for your good and your benefit. He wants to shower you with blessings, but you must receive them. He can't do it if you refuse. And many of you are refusing or you're neglecting. Why don't you give your life to Christ and let God start giving you his gifts? But you know, there's something else God does not forget. God never forgets our sins. Numbers 33:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. You know, the Bible has a very interesting description about that. The Bible talks about two sets of books that are being kept. There's one set that are called the books, just the books. And then there's another set of books that is called the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Life. Now, I believe that the Bible teaches that the moment you're born, your name is written in the books. An account is kept. The angels of heaven keep an account of your life from the moment you're born till the day you die. Everything that you do is in the books. All the secret thoughts that you've had, because you see, the books even take into account your thoughts. The things you've done in the dark, the things you thought were hidden, the things that you've even forgotten. And the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, when you give your life to Christ, your name, listen to this, the moment you come to Jesus Christ, your name is blotted out of the books. All the things that you've done are washed out of the books by the blood of Christ. And your name is entered into the book of life. And only those whose names are in the book of life are going to be saved. Nobody else. And the question I want to ask you is this. Is your name in the book of life? Listen to this. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, the little people here that nobody ever heard of, and the great people, the university professor, the leaders of the city, the small and the great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, the people that had drowned centuries ago. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The question I ask tonight, is your name in the book of life? If I didn't know my name was written there tonight, you couldn't drag me out of this park till I'd settled it. If you have a doubt tonight that your name is in the book of life, come and settle it. And say to the Lord, Lord, remember me. No, God is not going to forget our sins. We're going to be held accountable at the judgment of God. However, there is a sense in which God can forget sin. And the Bible says God does forget sin because of Christ. As Roy Gustafson says, Jesus Christ came to this earth for 3 days of work. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The three greatest days in history. All time is measured before Christ and after Christ. All the Bible is before Christ and after Christ. That is the decisive moment of history. And it was in that moment that the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made him to be sin for us. It was in that moment that Isaiah was talking about the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was in that moment that Peter was talking about who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. It was in that moment that Peter was talking about again, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. It was in that moment when it says, when he had by himself purged our sins in Hebrews 1. God had taken our sins and in some mysterious and glorious manner had laid them on Christ. And Christ purchased for us at the cross a righteousness that we did not have. And he offers it to us. He offers forgiveness. He says, I will forget your sins, but I can only forget your sins at the cross. And when you repent of your sins and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that our sins are purged. In Isaiah 43:25, they're blotted out. In Psalm 103:12, they're put away. In Isaiah 38:17, they're behind his back. In Micah 7:19, they are cast into the sea. And in Hebrews 10:17, our sins are remembered no more against us. Think of it. God remembers to forget. You can't forget your sins. Neither will the devil. Neither can I. But God can forget. God has, and I say this reverently, the ability in his great infinite mind to turn a button and erase every wrong thing that Billy Graham ever did because his son has already paid the price for my sins on the cross. And God is the only person in the universe that has the ability to forget. He can forget every sin you've ever committed. Under the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son cleanseth from all sin, every sin. And his blood blots out my name from the books, and it's written in his blood in the book of life. God remembers to forget. I'm asking you tonight to come and give your life to Christ. And receive him as your Lord and Master and Savior.